have this cousin that lives in Israel that I grew up with in New York, and we're very close, but he's older than I am, and he moved and became religious and had 8 children, and there's a long period of time where we didn't see each other, but we always felt very close to each other. And about 4 years ago, I found out that 2 of his children, who were 35 years old and 20 years old, were coming to America. And they were going to land at JFK on a Monday morning, and they were supposed to come down to D.C. to tour and stay overnight and then go back the next day. And so I quick got off an email to the family, and I said, I live really close to D.C. Please come stay with me. And I knew that they wouldn't eat at my house because they're religious and they're kosher, but I thought maybe they'll at least come and stay overnight. And they agreed to do that. So I was very excited on Monday, and they showed up at our house at 9:30 at night. And it was 35-year-old Joshua and his wife, Rachel, and their son, Reuven, who was 6. And none of them spoke English. Josh spoke a little bit of English. And then the 20-year-old sister, Claire, who was the only one who could really speak English at all. And so we had this really lovely reunion. I had only met them once before when they were very, very young. And, you know, there are some barriers between us. You know, he's religious, so he's not going to let me hug him or touch him in any way. He only touches his wife. He doesn't touch women who aren't his wife. And, you know, his wife wore a head covering, and they were dressed very modestly. And, of course, they would not eat anything in our house. But they were there at 9:30, and it was late, and so they went to bed, and I said goodbye, and I said, I'll see you in 2 weeks in New York when I go back up and visit with the family visit. And so overnight, I heard somebody throwing up, and I was really tired, and I had to work the next day, and I said, you know what, you know, I'm sure they had a rough trip and a rough day, and I'm not getting up, and they could take care of themselves. And so I'm a nice person, but I'm not that nice. So I got up and I went to work the next day, and I called my husband at 10:30 in the morning, and I said, how'd it go? Did everybody go off okay? Like, did they eat? Of course, we tried to buy food for them. And he says, well, actually, they're all in bed. They all have fever, and they're all throwing up. I said, oh, shit. So I was a teacher, and I went to my principal, and I said, I think there's an emergency at my house, and I think I have to go. So I went. And this was the year of swine flu, so that's what we assumed. And I go home, and it's like, you know, the walking dead. I mean, not even the walking dead, the laying down dead. They are sick, sick people, listless, fever, constantly throwing up. And all I'm doing is trying to keep them alive. And I just bring them water. Take a sip, take a sip, take a sip, take a sip. And they can only take a sip because otherwise they'll throw up. And then I go back to the first one again and, you know, on and on. And we go to the doctor and we go to the clinic. And, you know, in the clinic waiting room, it's like the walking dead because there's no room for them, but they're all 4 in the same room. And like this one's lying on the floor and this one's lying on the chair and this one's lying on the person who's on the chair. And they think that they have what's called like the Norwalk virus. So they give us anti-nausea medicine, which how do you take that? By mouth. And so that didn't really go over very well. But I'm like trying to give them this disgusting green medicine, which nobody wanted. And so over the next 3 days, I'm working desperately to keep them alive and, you know, not dehydrated. And as the week goes on, like all of these barriers between us fall apart. One day I hear the little 6-year-old boy calling out for his father. I was downstairs, Abba, Abba. And I run upstairs. I'm like, why is he crying? And he's alone in the shower. I'm like, who puts a 6-year-old kid in the shower in a strange house with no... And I see his father in his underwear, asleep, on the floor in the hallway. You know, he had just tried to help his kid, and he was so sick that he just fell asleep in his underwear. And, you know, this is somebody who's very, very conservative. And, you know, so he lets me take him by the hand, and I'm touching everybody, you know, and I'm taking him to bed, and his wife, you know, the scarf is gone, the hair, the wig is gone. She's walking around in her underwear, and she's like, Amy, Amy, please bring me the bucket. I must to throw. And I'm like, you cannot keep throwing up. You're so dehydrated. Amy, please, I beg you. So I'm like, okay, you know, like, here's the bucket, go ahead. And, you know, I'm like contributing to her demise. And so we finally take them to the hospital because they all crash on Thursday. So this was like Tuesday that I got the call, and now it's Thursday. Take them to the hospital. The three adults were really still very sick. The boy had gotten better. And so they get three bags of fluid plus anti-nausea medicine by IV, and now they start waking up. So their eyes clear, and they start being able to speak, and they're human again. And the doctors say, you know, we'd really like to find out what's wrong. We need somebody to give up a stool sample. And they're like, forget it. You know, like, they're completely, like, back to who we are. And, you know, my husband talks to Claire, the 20-year-old, and says, listen, you know, you really have to give it up for the team because this is important. And so she does. And we take them home, and we spend the next 3 days, like, getting back to a life. And so all the things that came between us start kind of creeping back. But we're so intimate now, and we're, like, just love each other so much, and they're so grateful to me that it's just the most beautiful 3 days that I ever spent with anybody. And what's so great about it is that, like, we had somebody come over and bring kosher food. One of them is actually in the audience tonight. And, you know, paper plates and plastic, and they ate, and, you know, it was a beautiful 3 days. And on Sunday, they were well enough that somebody could come and pick them up. They weren't able to drive, but somebody was going to come down from New York and drive them all back. And so just before they leave, we get a call from the hospital, and they say, we got the test results back. They all have salmonella. And now they speak English a little better, and they're not, like, dying, so I can talk to them and say, what did you all eat? And we had tried this, of course, during the week, and we couldn't get a real history from them. I had called Delta, I had called the restaurant. Nothing, nobody else was reporting being sick. And so we finally get the story. Back in Israel, their mother, my cousin's wife, had lovingly made them omelet sandwiches. Okay, eggs. And they didn't eat them until they were in the car on the way to D.C. Now, to be fair, it was in a cooler, a little one. But let's, like, if you do the math, it's 3 hours in the airport. If I'd be generous, 3 hours in the airport, 10-hour trip, get a car, go visit their grandmother, go through customs, then get in the car and start driving, and then have egg sandwiches. So that's like at least 15 hours, and that's if I'm being extremely generous. And I'm like, guys, really? And there is no way. It could not have been our mother's sandwiches. It could not have been. And I said, well, it is. And actually a month later, I got a call from the county health department that asked me again all about it, and I told them the story, and they said, oh, the guys in the lab are going to love this story. And I said... And I said, why? And they said, because we've never seen this strain before. So I'm like, okay, well, it was the eggs. So the one thing I have said to my cousins, and we've become just like bonded forever, and we WhatsApp each other, and we Facebook each other, and we have visited them and been hosted by them. We are bonded forever. And I say to them, even though I would never wish what happened to them on anybody, and I certainly regret that they went through such pain because it was tremendous pain for them, I will never regret the experience and the time that I got to spend with them, because without that illness, I would never have been able to host them and have them spend so much time with me and in such an intimate way. So that's my story.